Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This year, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the blog, and there are a lot of exciting things in the works. From new music here on the podcast to a new look on the website, I can't wait to share everything with you. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by AMD, with a reminder about the Lenovo EDU community. Join this free platform to connect with education experts and watch inspiring, one-of-a-kind video content with your learners. Don't forget to check out some exclusive blog posts I put together for them. Head over to education.lenovo.com to sign up for free. That's education.lenovo.com. This week's podcast is titled, Why Optimize is My One Word for 2022, and I thought that it would be a perfect topic to kick off the year. Now, if you've followed along with the podcast for a while, you can probably guess that I'm recording this in December, since I like to plan ahead and prep content on the blog and the podcast ahead of time. So maybe it shouldn't come too big of a surprise that my word for 2022 is optimize. If I'm being completely honest, I can't think of the first time I heard this trend to pick a word for a year, and I'm often hesitant to jump into these sort of things, and I am not a New Year's resolution type of person. But as an educator and content creator, I do place a lot of value on having a vision and setting goals for the future. So the idea of choosing one word and thinking of it as a guide for my decisions this year definitely has a lot of appeal. And having this type of vision for the kind of year I'd like to have can help me make sure I'm just making some decisions that align with these big goals. It gives me a push to make sure I'm sticking with it throughout the year and kind of gives me this guiding light, if you will, to come back to when I'm making decisions. So let's dive into this one word I've chosen for 2022, optimize, and what I hope it will look like in action this year. If we head over to one of my favorite spots online, Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, we can find the word optimize. It's a transitive verb, by the way, and a quick definition to start our conversation today. If you're a member of my membership site, the Easy EdTech Club, then you know I often kick off each month's masterclass with just anchoring in a definition or a 101. So kind of going along with that same idea today. So according to Merriam-Webster, the definition of optimize is to make as perfect, effective, or functional as possible. Or at least the one we'll focus on today is really all about this idea of getting focused on this functionality or making things more effective. Maybe not perfect, maybe that's more of an aspirational piece, but to really make things as effective and functional as possible. Now, optimize isn't just a word that is used in education. Systems in lots of different industries are reviewed so that they can work at their optimal level of performance. So what does this one word look like in action, for me at least? Why did I choose it for my one word of this new year? Well, my main goal is to keep things simple and to not add on to what feels like a pretty full plate and to work with a level of just better efficiency. So bottom line, I want to do some of the same things, but do them better. I want to make sure I'm working smarter, not harder this year. And so if this idea of working smarter, not harder resonates with you too, then maybe you'll want to try out some of the ways I'm trying to change up my workflow this year. And if you followed along for a while, you know I love a listicle. So let's dive into five separate practices I want to optimize this year. And we're going to take a look at these five things together, the things that I'm hoping to do at least to really optimize my practices this year. Let's go ahead to the first one on the list, which is templates. The first way I want to keep optimizing my practices is through templates. I love templates and I'm planning on a bit of a refresh and more of a commitment to sticking with templates across a lot of things that I do. One great way to start using templates in your everyday practice is with newsletters or email updates that you send to students, families, or even colleagues. And if you send out regular email messages like a weekly or monthly newsletter, a template will help you save time with the creation of these types of correspondences and will make it easy for your readers to figure out where the information they need is located. If they know that the information's always organized in a certain way, they'll be able to scan or skim an email newsletter to find that exact piece of info they check in on each week. So, what might this look like in your own practice? Take a moment to review some of the newsletters or messages you sent out over the past few weeks or even the past few months. Try to locate the patterns in your messaging. Do you always start out with a favorite inspirational quote? Do you sometimes recommend online resources, or do you give updates on upcoming events as part of your messaging? Look for the patterns that you typically use and set up your template this way. That way you have a set format and you can plug in the new information each time you send out an email. You don't have to stick with a template every week or every month, but it can set up a framework that will give you just a way to jump in and save time throughout the year. I already use templates in my weekly newsletters, but one way I want to optimize this practice is with social posts like an infographic. This year, I plan on making a few templates so I can plug in fun facts or quick pieces of information. That way, I'll be able to share information more quickly from a blog post or podcast episode, and I'm hoping it'll make it easier for people to get quick tips from the content I create. So for this tip, I'm hoping you'll keep me accountable and stay on the lookout for templates and social posts like infographics. Next up, my number two way of putting this word optimize into action is to make sure I have guided responses for as many things as possible. Do you get emails from students, parents, or colleagues with the same questions? This is just one way a guided response, also it's sometimes called a canned response, can come in handy. Imagine you get a question on Monday morning from a parent about where to find the login information for a new website you recommended in your last family newsletter. If you get another email later in the day or later in that week, a guided response can save you so much time. Here's a process I use now that I'm hoping to strengthen or optimize this year. To make a guided response, I use a Google Doc with hyperlinks. I set up a heading at the top of the page or top of a new section with a title for the response. It doesn't have to be the subject of the email, but it is a quick reminder of what the email is all about. Then I take the first email I wrote, that one that would have come in, say, on a Monday morning, and paste it into the document so I can find it underneath the heading. So for that example I just gave you, you might write a whole email on where to go to find the login information and how to get started with the new program, and then you plug it into the Google Doc with a heading that says login instructions for fill in the blank, whatever the tool might be. So once you have that, you can set up a table of contents. This is an option within Google Docs that will make a list of all the headings on the first page. I do this so that I can click on the one I want when I open up the document, and it jumps right to the section of that Google Doc. Now, this is a guided response and can and should be personalized for a reader. It's a guide, not necessarily a true copy and paste. So you might add an extra sentence or two with a personal connection, or add a seasonal note about an upcoming event or celebration or holiday. And although I've been using this system of guided responses for a while now, one way that I hope to optimize it this year is trying quarterly cleanups and refreshes of the document that I use, and maybe even adding emojis as visual cues for each heading to make them easier for me to find. So, quick side note, if you love emojis too, check out episode 142. It's called 13 Ways to Use Emojis That Might Surprise You, where I talk all about emojis and more emoji-friendly tips. And you can find previous episodes. Number 142 isn't that long ago. It's just from December. You can find them right in the app where you're listening, or you can find it on the blog. You can always on the blog search for emojis or a podcast with emojis, and it should pop right up for you. Now, the first two ways I'm going to try my best to put this word optimize into action is through better templates and stronger guided responses. Number three on the list of things I'm planning to do to stay true to this one word for the year is to revisit and review some systems I already have in place and look for new systems I can create this year. The idea of having a system for something can mean a lot of different things. In this instance, I'm thinking of a system as having a task or two that are connected or that happen back to back. So for example, if I do one thing and something else always happens too. In a classroom setting, you might have a system you want to optimize for giving feedback to students. For example, you might sit down once a week with students who are working on a writing project and jump into those first drafts that they're working on. A way to add on or optimize this system might include having a document with some phrases or suggestions you use frequently, or a handful of emojis that you can copy and paste into a comment on a piece of student work. By tying the resource to something you're already doing, you can optimize a system that's already part of your routine. One system I'm hoping to optimize this year is the sharing of resources after leading professional development sessions. If you attended a conference session or webinar with me, you know I often send out an email afterwards with a bunch of resources you can click on based on the topic of our session. And one system I'm trying to optimize this year is how I share those resources connected to a session. I'm thinking in 2022, and I tried this out in December, just last week as I'm recording this, actually, I was in Arizona doing six sessions with educators out in Tucson. It was a conference I've been to a bunch of times in person, and just so lovely to be back there with them in person and in the beautiful Arizona desert for December. And I tried this just last week, and I'm thinking I'm going to keep with it and try to even, you know, up my level a little bit in 2022, is that I'll set up a link that will make it easier for people to see all of the collections in one place. I tried doing this with Wakelet for this first go of it, so I'm going to see how that feels, and then maybe I will tweak or change up this new system. So instead of searching for an email that maybe I sent out after a previous session where some of the content overlapped and just copy and pasting and trying to figure out what was there and what wasn't there, I think this new system will end up giving me a better way to share. That way I can give a Wakelet link and they can see all the resources that I've bookmarked and find, you know, the ones that are the most important to them to maybe save to their own Wakelet or their own collection, right? Depending on what their workflow might be. Number four on this list today of ways I'm tackling the one word optimize for the year is to find experts who can help me do things better. It's always so tempting to do a YouTube search or go on a deep dive through different blog posts to try to figure out something new. Instead, this year, I want to use my time a bit more wisely by finding experts who I can take a class with, join a webinar with, or even join a membership or a club if they have one. Now, I don't have one person or one thing in mind just now, but I'm adding this to the list because I do want to commit to having this as a way to optimize my practices this year. So my thought process here with this particular angle is that when I find myself diving deep into a big search or something new, that I'll pause and think, is there an expert who I can reach out to or who I can purchase a book from or who might have a podcast that I can listen to instead of trying to figure everything out on my own? Number five on the list is to schedule things so they get done. As I mentioned earlier, the idea of optimizing is often working smarter, not harder. And one last way that I'm hoping to make this happen in 2022 is to schedule things on my calendar so they definitely get done. It's great to have a plan, but in order to really make something happen, we need to carve out time to go along with it. So in order to build in some of these new routines, take time to review all those templates I mentioned or looked over the guided responses I might want to refresh and update, I'm going to make sure to add some time on my calendar. I'm not exactly sure if I'll stick with the same hour I'm going to black out right now or block out right now once a week in the month of January for the whole year. So I don't know if that's what I'm going to do the whole year, but I do know I want to have periodic check-ins so that if there is a new system I want to try or there is a practice I want to review to make sure it's truly optimized, that I've carved out time to really make it happen. Goals are all about accountability, and that's part of the reason I'm sharing it here on this episode of the podcast with you today. With more face-to-face events at the end of last year, at the end of 2021, I've had the chance to meet listeners of the podcast and maybe even you if you're listening today, and we chatted a bit at conferences like NYSGATE or Slate or that Hope conference I mentioned in Arizona. So if you see me at a conference, I've got FETC, TCEA, ASCD Empower on my schedule for the first chunk of the year. Feel free to ask me how my one word for the year is going to help me stay accountable. And if you have a one word commitment you're making this year too, share it with me on Instagram or Twitter, tag me in a post with your one word, or send me a DM and let me know what you are working on for 2022. So let's finish up this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, choose a word for the year. Next, think of what steps you'll need to take. Then, share your word so others know what you're working on. Finally, schedule time to make things happen. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools I mentioned today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 144. This episode is sponsored by AMD with a reminder about the Lenovo EDU community. This free platform lets you connect with education experts and find videos and articles on educational content. You can sign up for free at education.lenovo.com, and you'll even find some exclusive blog posts I put together for them too. That's education.lenovo.com. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment today and are feeling extra helpful, please leave a 5-star rating or a short review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. If you're listening on Spotify, the rating option is new this year. So if you haven't looked for it, you can find the stars right underneath the episode title, and you can tap and leave a rating there as well. Have a great week, and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.